frequency will know to Lost Talk Radio. You won't find what the moon is finding. Other day is violent. Words of thumb up to my brightness was an unsigned. To bring it no months either. In the desert 40 years, they have no leaps neither. Shout out to Malek, David, Hang King Solomon, who was signed all y'all soldiers for where the higher land. It is a glory for y'all to conceal a thing, but it's an honor. The search of our pure king, the heart has many vices for us to give to desires. So choose your life or death where you live. We're burning fire now. Who will stand? In the council of God now, who will stand? Who will stand? In the council of God now, who will stand? In the council of God, come on. Yeah, it's time for me to take the shackles off. Everybody want freedom, but they don't know the actual cost. They want to be down for the cause without the accurate law. Sacrifices, bodies lifeless, just to prove who's the wisest. Y'all's golden tongue better than Midas. I transfer light through the mic, the way your internet like a hack through your wireless. The flow is timeless, cause I spit with coke. My false prophets were synthetic like vodka. Patties, no counsel against y'all, so y'all can have me. H-O-Y trying to take sin from the navy. Teach precision, no marriage if they perish. I can tell they lacking vision. If two don't walk in unison, then they destined for collision. That's why we seeking that counsel that is hidden. Like stone for the righteous, that's living. It is a glory for y'all to conceal a thing, but it's an honor. The search of our pure king, the heart has many vices for us to give to desires. So choose your life or death where you live, but burn the fire now. Who will stand in the council of God now? Who will stand in the who will stand in the council of God now? Who will stand in the council of God? Come on.
Will you serve God?
Will you serve God?
Or will you pass by?
Will you pass by?
Will you serve God?
Will you serve God?
Or will you pass by?
Will you pass by?
Eight out of 10 white children live in a two-parent household compared to 4 out of 10 in the black community, or 4 out of 10 of black children. 67% of the black children who had an unemployed parent have now dropped to 57%. But of the white children, 86% of their parents are employed, 86%. Over 700,000 black men from 25 to 54 years of age were unemployed. And the other day, a man was talking about debate me on radio, and he was bragging about how many degrees he has. Well, a white man with no degree and a criminal record has a higher percentage of men to be called back for a job than a black man obtaining a degree and no criminal record. And to show you how people are treated, United States the other day went over in Europe and gave Georgia $100 billion. Billion. But when Haiti was just recently hit with more chaotic events than anything that possibly could have occurred in Georgia, you know how much money the government loaned them? $10 million. That's an insult to give a country of distress people in a chaotic position that they were in $10 million. And at this time, the Creator is still attempting to wake our people up. And our people are still turning their backs on them. And he said, the Creator said, he's going to send us in the land of our enemy, where he would show us no favor. And we bear witness to this today. We bear witness to this. So, be alert. Watch. And as I talked to you many years ago, get your passports. Get your passport. You don't never know if you have to need them or not. But I just wanted to share that with some of you all. Do I have any comments on what I said? And while Brother Aaron is going to the mic, I'm very surprised that Brother Aaron, Brother Joel, rather, and Brother Aaron, Elder Joel, and Aaron, and Brother Dan, and Ezekiel, and myself, all dressed alike. Y'all notice that? All the same color. You know, you'd think we had it planned, but no, they didn't. Just thought I was just looking around and seeing how, you know, when I came in, I had to scratch my head. You know, so the Almighty is bringing the watchmen together, isn't it? We begin to see eye to eye, even on our dress. Well, that's good. That's very good. All right. Yes, sir, Brother Joel.
Yes, sir. First and foremost, get all praise to Yahweh. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. And it's so bad down there in Texas that it was three brothers that traveled on bicycles 4 miles just to get some food because of areas where they at has been so devastated, it's nowhere for them to go. And they were just, when they got to the place, they didn't have food for them, or so they say. They didn't have food. They supposedly ran out of food by the time that they got there, traveling 4 miles on bicycles.
And isn't it ironic that they got all them planes all the way over there in Europe to Georgia giving them supplies? They say, we're all Georgians. They was all, gave it right, Johnny on the spot. But when they come right here to their own backyard, where many of our people are in distress, they can't find them. Very good. Any other comments on what I said today? If not, let me ask two questions. Did anyone hear? Yes? Murray Dan is approaching the mic.
That article in the newspaper yesterday where they're talking about coming out now with genetic engineered meat and eggs and stuff. This is something they've been knowing that's going to occur for years because we've been saying these things. They come out with genetic engineered vegetables. Now it's coming to the meats and the eggs and stuff now. So I just wanted to bring that point up.
Well, the Creator stated that we would die in a polluted land. That's when he said, plant ye vineyards and eat of the fruit thereof. The most safest food, of course, is organic food or food that you could grow yourself. The milk is already tampered with, and it's not even whole milk no more. And they won't even market to let us know which milk we can use and which one we can't. They don't want us to be able to differentiate between the two, so they're not even marketing them. So the safest thing, of course, is always organic grown food. Does somebody have a farm or grow your own? As the Creator told us, to plant vineyards, build houses. Any other comments on that? How many of y'all heard our radio show last week? Raise your hand. Not very many. Okay. How many of y'all had an opportunity to hear me Thursday when I was on radio? Raise your hand. Not very many either. Well, let me tell you what happened. on the Buzz radio show, Lincoln Ware has arranged for the gentleman that called himself Pharaoh and myself to have a debate. It would just be an hour from 1 to 2, which is not much time, but when you're working with Yah, every moment is precious. So I count that as a blessing. Any moment where I can even mention the Creator's name and his great works is a blessing. So I will be on there this second day of the week that we call Monday at 1 o'clock. And I'm surprised that many of y'all didn't hear about it, because everywhere I go downtown, everywhere, the people just stalk me and they tell me they heard about the debate. None of y'all heard about it? Yes, well, it will be this Monday. And many of the people that listen to the radio, of course, on a regular basis, they have heard of it. So if you're able to listen, you're going to be in for a great surprise. The gentleman I was going to debate, I thought I had him caught in a box, because he now has a God. And anybody got a God that tries to have a discourse with me, it's automatic loss. Any of them that got a religious book other than the Torah that serves a creator other than Yahweh, it's an automatic loss. There's no ifs, buts, and ands about it. And that's the reason he got out the first debate. But he has recently changed his position, and now he went back and reverted to the fact that we come from apes, a colony of intelligent apes. And he said that's what the scientists can prove, and I can't prove that Moses or Abraham ever existed, and I cannot prove the authenticity of my Bible. So he's able to prove everything, and he wants us to be able to prove God. So, and of course, the Most High had not manifested itself to everyone, so it's very difficult to teach everyone that there is a creator when they ask for scientific proof. And that's what he wants to establish, scientific proof. Of course, during the meeting, he was on radio. In a way, called me dummy, as he did several times, and said he's going to have to dumb down 3 degrees just to talk to me. And, of course, that made me angry. And as the scripture says, anger rests in the bosom of fools. I don't supposed to get angry. I'm supposed to get intelligent. But at that moment, instead of me getting intelligent, as I should have, I got angry and I called the station. And when I called, I was angry. And being angry, I wasn't at my best. And so I was very upset. And I said to myself, he won that battle there, because I was out of character. I was upset. I was angry. And I got to try to get myself together to prove the existence of my Elohim. And I was very upset and mad and trying to get the anger out of me. And I'm saying here, I'm hoarse, not in my best speaking voice, and I'm upset, and I'm going to have to prove something that most people can't prove. But I'm going to have to, because I'm called upon the carpet to do it. And Almighty wouldn't have me there if he didn't want me in that position as he had in the past. But I was very nervous last night. My sleep went from me. So I got wise. I woke up, went in my secret chamber, and cried out to Yah. And he answered me. And when he answered me, all the anger went away, and I've been grinning like a chess cat ever since. Because he assured me of my total victory. and gave me the formula that he wants me to utilize. Do you want me to tell you the formula? Oh, no, no, no. You listen, it will be a surprise. But Yah has already claimed victory again. And I can't wait to Monday to occur. I can't wait. You want to see how great Yah is? You and those that will be working, of course, we're going to have it taped. And I'm going to try to get it shot with the camera. I'm going to try to encourage the buyer to go to the studio and borrow that camera, either take our camera and try to come in there and have somebody shoot it live while we were there, because I would like that on a DVD as well, because the formula the Creator gave me to establish His word, establish His existence, and to speak to the people, I shared it with my brother Isaiah out of North Carolina while we was on the phone, and he couldn't stop grinning. He just couldn't stop laughing, and neither can I. I come into class just grinning like a chess cat. But I can't wait till Monday. But also, for those that are not aware of it, our new radio time is not Saturday evenings no more. We are on Sunday at 7 o'clock, 7, 8. First, I thought about getting 8 to 9, but the later it is, the more the reception gets weak. And the earliest I can get was 7, so hopefully we'll have good reception then. But that will be our time. But right now, we're going to get into a lesson. We're going to get into a lesson on the infinite wisdom of our Creator. Our discussion in the book of Obadiah. Yes. But hold it. Before we start taping, one of our most brilliant brothers had approached the mic when I was speaking. And I didn't know he was approaching the mic, or I would have spoke last, as I generally do. But I'm going to encourage Brother Goliath to go back to the mic and say what he was going to say. He forgot what he was going to say. Not man. No, go ahead. I was very interested. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead. Huh? I covered it, but I'd like to hear your perspective anyway. Go ahead. Go to the mic. Because he said I covered it, and I'm quite sure that I might have hit some of the things, but the Creator said His word to be magnified. And even though we're saying the same thing, anytime it comes with a different spin, you learn something else. So I got my learning cap on, too. I know He's going to say some of the same things, but I love the spin that He gives things, don't you? Oh, it's beautiful. Yes, sir, brother.
Praise. Regarding the financial situation this week, I don't know. Some of y'all may have been, tuned into some of the documentaries that a lot of brothers have been watching lately. And one of them I seen recently, they showed how the crash of 1923 took place. Basically, how the banks took a run on all of the loans that they had out. And basically, what happened is when they ate up all the loans, it gave them control. And by the government stepping in this time, not only taking on financial institutions, but also the main ones that they're taking over is those bad loans. Basically, when they take those loans, they're taking property. The property no longer owns, it's owned by the people, it's owned by the government. So if the loans never get turned around, then it becomes government land. And the more government land that's owned by the government that's taken away from the people, the more control they have, and then it takes away, because every place that there is land, people get the choice, get the opportunity to choose to make their laws, or they get to vote on what they want. But the more houses that are eaten up by the government, that the government takes on, the less opportunity the people in those vicinities have to make so-called changes. But that's not the big picture. The big picture is that when something like this happens, usually there's a bigger picture on the other end. And the one thing that Dan always used to tell us was the day that was going to come where a woman would prostitute herself for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Well, if you look at what's taking place with this market, it's basically, and I don't want to say I don't want to say it was planned because that would be a conspiracy. I can't prove it. But the one thing we do know is that when the government steps in and takes over any company, basically it's government owned if the company does not turn around. And all I'm saying is that at this point, you know, we as a people who are still, or should I say, who have not made any personal investments, have not made any investments to get ourselves from point A to point B, and the time this man decides to switch, and because, as the brother said in Galveston, they already declared martial law. You know, they declared martial law in certain parts of Texas where there is no law. Only the government, there is no, you have no rights to nothing. Property that was your house, you have no rights to it. So, you know, a lot of times they set those stages and test those stages in areas like that so that when chaos starts in other places, they have no problem moving in. But, you know, like I said, it was I had something specific. It kind of slipped my mind that I wanted to touch on. But all I'm saying is that, you know, they're going forward, everyone needs to start focusing on Me Incorporated. And Me Incorporated is what all third world countries use to survive. And that is you doing what it takes day in, day out to provide for your family without putting your trust in any other company. So that means if you are limited with knowledge on how to go out here and mine the earth and bring about resources and bring about something to take care of your family, or to know how to mine the earth and sell that to take care of your family, depending on the government who are taking over a lot of companies and will continue to do it, they're not going to put money in them to keep them turned around, because their whole objective is to make sure that they have the control to, and I don't want to say, you know, unify a government, but I don't know, man. You know, it's just, to me, when I saw the financial markets turn, it was just one thing, one stage that, you know, we as individuals, if we're not ready to move from point A to point B, we're going to be stuck. Sunday night, you know, when the lights went off, I went out to Tri-County, the only place where there was something where electricity was, and there was lines out the door. People was banging on doors for restaurants that had closed. You know, so how much more, and this was just, you know, for people who didn't have electricity, what it's going to look like when you got electricity, but you ain't got no money and it's worth nothing. You can't, people ain't going to sell you nothing. Person that owned a restaurant, you're going to keep that for him and his people. So, I mean, you know, we're in a situation right now, we're very volatile. The Moray asked a question a month ago, how many people are in school learning some type of knowledge? I saw maybe one, two hands go up. If you don't have basic knowledge on how to get out here and provide for you and your family without depending on the company in the next, I don't know, maybe a couple years, you're done. You're going to curl up, you're going to go in a corner, you're going to wish for food, and you're going to die, you know, because you have not utilized the wisdom that the Almighty gives us to teach us that you got 24 hours in a day to get yourself enough knowledge and to give yourself enough tool sets to go out here and link with another brother that has like-minded and provide for your family. You're dependent upon linking yourself with a company to provide for your family. And when the lights went off Sunday and I saw people banging on restaurant doors and stuff closed, like, come on, man. I'm thinking like, this is what? But that's the reality. People panicked in a couple of hours. Imagine a couple of days. You know, so, I mean, we're in a position as a class right now where, you know, we really have somewhat of a close unification when it comes to brotherly love. But when it comes to getting about our business, we need to kick that up a notch. And you got to do what you got to do. All of us got 24 hours. A man that's out there, like the Moray said, the average white person get their money through inheritance. We start our adulthood with nothing. Scott Solomon called that an evil not to leave something to your children. He said that was an evil under the sun when you don't leave an inheritance to your child. That means you mistook the days that the Almighty gave you in preparing something to leave to your children. So we're in a very volatile situation right now, and I think that this is something. I think that this should be an opportunity for us to at least click together. I don't care if we got our own little clicks. Click together and start talking. Man, I put up $50 a month, put it with yours $100 a month. What are we going to do? You know, we got to figure something out. You know, get rifles, bullets, dig a ditch, and stash. Get canisters of gas, dig a ditch, and stash. Because who got the gas in the future going to have the power, because he's mobile. He can get from point A to point B. So, you know, we got some things to really think about, and I hope that we'll start utilizing our time more wisely. You know, TV was designed to keep us, you know, connected to a man that wants to utilize us and make sure that we labor for him. But when we start to turn that TV off and disconnect from that matrix, then we look at each other in our eyes and figure out how we're going to stay alive. And I think that, you know, we're arriving at that time very close, or that time is very close. So, you know, praise Yah. You know, hopefully we can continue this discussions and we can have them, you know, more realistic, you know, amongst ourselves and bring solutions so that we can, you know, function as a real family. So That's it, man. Praise Yah.
That was very good. And the words that you were speaking were very consistent with the Almighty's formula for us to utilize at such a time. The Creator told us what to do in a time of trouble, that he's going to bring about upon the face of the earth. He tells us in the book of Zephaniah, if we go there. Zephaniah, the second chapter, the first two verses says,
gather yourselves together.
Gather yourselves together. In other words, the brothers asked me when I was talking to them, all the elders this morning in a conference call, they said, what do you suggest that we do when we get to our congregation other than to inform them about what time it is? I said, well, you need to tell them to gather themselves together. I said, there's not much I can say over the phone until we meet personally, but one thing I can tell you, you and the people are going to have to find ways to link yourselves together in times of crisis. Even when the telephones are not working, your cell phones, they're not working, you have to use these other kind of phones where you call the walkie-talkies and two-way radios, but that you got to find ways to communicate with your people to get them together. And the Creator himself says, gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation, not desired. And you can see the way they treat us here compared to everybody else, that we're the people that he's speaking of that's not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as a chaff, before the fierce anger of Yahweh come upon you, before the day of Yahweh's anger come upon you, seek ye Yahweh, all the meek of the earth, which have brought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be that ye shall be hid in the day of Yah's anger. So that's what we are told to do. We have to devise ways that we can better come together, because united we fall, but divided, please. Boy. Y'all tell, go ahead. You say it, brother.
Together we stand, united we fall. United we fall.
Oh, you know. I told you we're thinking together, aren't we? Please, now you stop. Huh? Won't call no brother teacher out there. Yeah, we're thinking right together today. Together we stand, divided we fall. That's what he meant to say, wasn't it?
There you go.
That's all. Anybody make a mistake? Brother, please, we have order in here. Yeah, please. Any other comments on that before we get into a lesson today? If not, let us turn to the book of Obadiah. And how many have this little booklet I have called When Does Yahweh Start and End His 7-Day Sabbath? How many have that? Should I say how many don't have it? Oh, my. We got plenty of them here, don't we? I suggest that you get this particular book. The knowledge in it is invaluable. You have the book of Obadiah? Good. In the booklet on page 3, and I want you to keep your books on Obadiah, it says the Jewish people have added a lot of new laws to Yahweh's book and to his laws. Not to the book, but to Yahweh's laws. They have added laws in their teachings. And unfortunately, many of our leaders, many of the black rabbis and kohanes and elders have followed and are following the way of the heathens. Even though the Creator told us, learn not the ways of the heathens. And we find in the book of Obadiah that we have been learning his ways. And we have found out that his ways are deceitful and his ways are against the laws of Yahweh. The Creator tells us in verse 6, how are the things of Esau searched out? How do we search them out? How do we find them? There was no book to tell us about the lies and deceit and hypocrisy of Esau. But nevertheless, the Creator let us know that we found out, because his word says, how are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up?
All the men of thy confederacy,
everybody that united with this man,
have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee.
The men that were at peace with thee, they deceived thee.
And prevailed against thee, that they eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee.
They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. And then the Creator says, there is none understanding in him. Now, how can we say that about people that got millions of dollars, own huge corporations, control Wall Street, got great institutions of knowledge and education, they're known all over the world about the great knowledge and books and wisdom that comes out of the Hebrew Union College in Cincinnati, Ohio, how the rabbis and young students of learning come from all over the country to Cincinnati to study at the Hebrew Union College to become rabbis and teach the law. And here the Creator says, there is none understanding in him. No understanding. Now, what does he mean by no understanding in him? Here's a man that says that he is the original Israelite. He was given the one, he was given the book, and the law was passed down to him from Moses, that he is a true prophet. His descendants are the true priests and Kohanes that came out of the lineage of Levi, Levi. He is the one that will be the lawyer and the custodian of this book. And here the Creator says, there is none understanding in him. Now, what did he say that? Did you know that the Jewish people, in attempting to be wise, they became as fools? And they thought that they could be even more righteous than Yahweh himself. So therefore, in their teaching, they added to the Creator's word to the extent that they have now altered his major laws by attempting to better them. Let me give you an instant or an example of what I'm speaking of. If we take our scriptures and go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter, you can put some in your Bibles and hold the book of Obadiah and turn to Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter. And notice what Yah says. But before we read the 14th chapter, notice what it says in the 4th chapter of Deuteronomy, the 2nd verse.
Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2. For thou art an holy people.
For thou art an holy people. Speaking of Israel.
Unto Yahweh thy Elohim.
That's the reason we have the ability to have divine perceptibility and see things that other people can't see. I didn't have nothing but a high school education before I went to night school and graduated from night school. Yet I have debated over 5 people with doctor's degrees. I've went up to colleges and university and debated professors of theology and made them look like a fool. And they couldn't believe it because these men have been studying the book, trained in the book, went to school eating lunch, dinner, and breakfast every day in their study and understanding of the book. And here I was just reading the book when I get a chance from not working to understand the words of the Most High, and I had a greater understanding than they. That's because the Almighty has given the word to his chosen people and no one else. As reading it said, for thou art holy people unto Yah.
Thy Elohim, and Yahweh have chosen thee.
He has chosen thee.
To be a peculiar people.
To be a peculiar people.
Unto himself.
Unto himself.
Above all the nations.
Above all the nations.
That are upon the earth. Thou should not eat any abominable thing.
And then he tells us not to eat anything that's unclean. Then the Creator says in the book of Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, the 2nd verse.
Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you.
Don't add to the word which I command you.
Neither shall ye diminish out from it.
Neither should ye diminish from it. We're not to add anything to the law to try to make it better, to try to make it more perfect. Nor are we to take anything from the law that we conceive that diminishes the flavor of the law. We're not to mess with it because Yah tells us in Psalms 19 and 6 that the law of Yahweh is perfect. And if it's perfect, you add a morsel of salt to a perfect cake, it is then unperfect. If you take away a grain of sugar from a perfect cake, that cake now is imperfect. And the only way to leave that cake perfect is to leave it perfectly alone. And that's what Yah admonished us to do with his law. But did this man leave the law alone? Since he says that he was made the custodian of the law. If we go to the book of Deuteronomy 14th chapter, and we look at the 21st verse. It says in the latter part of that verse, thou shalt not see it, a kid in his mother's milk. Now, what does that mean? A kid is another word for a baby goat. And he tells us, the word see it is boil. So he's telling us, thou shalt not boil a young goat in its mother's milk to make up any kind of food concoction at all. We're not to do it. But look what the Jewish people have done. They have reduced the words of Almighty to the extent that now they teach that you are not to eat meat of any kind and any type of dairy product at the same time. I was in Chicago years ago through the World Federation of Israel, or the World Organization of Israelites, something like that. I can't recollect the word. What was the name of it? World Federation of what? Of Israelites. And one great rabbi out of Chicago thought he would, me and out of New York, thought he would correct me. I came to sit with the old elders, and I had a sandwich. It was lunchtime, and I grabbed a piece of cheese and corned beef and bread, and I was eating it. He said, "What are you doing, son?" I said, "I'm eating this sandwich." He said, "You don't eat with meat and cheese at the same time." And I caught myself, and I just waited. And I said, "Sir, where did you read that at?" He said, "It's in the scriptures." I said, "Show it to me." I said, "I have my book with me. Show me where I can eat no beef and cheese in the same meal." He said, "Well, everything is not in that, and I don't have my Talmud with me." And I said, "Well, where did the Creator tell us to go buy the Talmud?" I thought he said that his law was perfect. And the man got mad, talking about shooting me with a gun because I disagreed with him. See, you're very privileged. What you have underwent here since you've been coming to the House of Israel in Cincinnati is far different than it is in other congregations. You don't raise your hand and ask teachers questions in Christian churches, in Muslim mosques, nor in Israelite congregation. That's something you don't do. Ask somebody to show you something to back up what they said. Even though you're used to that and don't mind doing that, they don't do that. And what I did was considered a great sin. I questioned an elder and told the elder to back up what he's saying. And that was arrogant. Who do he think he is questioning Rabbi so-and-so? And he was mad at me and ever since, talking about shooting me with a gun because I disagreed with him. But the reality is, it's nothing in the book that says you can't eat beef and milk at the same time. And he came to this understanding because this is the understanding that the Jewish man gave him. And that's when the Creator told us not to learn the ways of the heathens. Now, to show you how preposterous this is, I'm going to show you where the Most High himself ate meat and dairy products at the same meal. I believe we want to go to Genesis, the 18th chapter. Am I correct? And I believe we want, as a class, to start reading the first verse. And it says,
"And Yahweh appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre."
In your books, it is saying the Lord. But in Hebrew, Yahweh, which is mentioned over 7,000 times in Hebrew scriptures, Yahweh appeared to him
in the plains of Mamre.
In the plains of Mamre.
And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day.
As Abraham was sitting in the tent door, he seen Yahweh.
And he lifted up his eyes.
And Abraham lifted up his eyes.
And looked.
And looked.
And lo, three men stood by him.
He didn't see him walking down the road. He didn't see him riding on camels on jackasses. He just looked up, and all of a sudden, he seen three men standing before him. He didn't know how long they'd been there, nor how they got there, or when they appeared. He just seen them standing before him out of nowhere.
And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door.
He ran to meet them from the tent door when he saw them.
And bowed himself towards the ground and said, "My Yah, If now I have found favor in thy sight.
If I found favor in thy sight.
Pass not away.
Don't leave me.
Pray thee from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched. And wash your feet.
Let me wash your feet as I do all the guests that come to my house. Know it, you got it dirty and with the sandals on. Let me wash your feet.
And rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread. And comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said.
They allowed Abraham to wash the feet of Yahweh and two angels. Wash their feet. So this is the first time in the scriptures you ever seen a person touch the creator of the world. When Abraham washed the feet of the Most High, I certainly wish it was me. I wish I could have had that great privilege of washing the feet of Yah and the two angels. But that was a custom in the East, always treat your guests with honor. And he had three honorary guests at his house.
Verse 6, and Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal.
Three measures of fine meal. I want to get some bread together.
And make cake upon the hearth.
Make these cakes.
And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and
good. And he ran and got a young calf tender and what?
And good.
And good.
And gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it.
He dressed it up, butchered it, and dressed it up.
And he took butter and milk.
And he took butter and milk.
And the calf which he had dressed.
And the calf which he had dressed.
And set it before them.
And set it before them.
And he stood by them under the tree. And they did eat.
And they did eat. So common sense would tell me that if Yahweh himself was eating beef and butter and milk, that certainly there's nothing wrong with it, because he is the epitome of perfection. And he is our role model. And he told us to eat like he eats. He said, because I want you to be holy like me. So in a manner that I would eat, that's the way that you would eat. If we go to the book of Leviticus, the 20th chapter, Leviticus, the 20th chapter. If we start reading at verse 24, it says,
but I have said unto you,
but I have said unto you,
ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am Yahweh your Elohim, which hath separated you from other people.
I'm the one that made you distinct. I'm the one that separated you from other people. I don't want you to be with other people. I made you holy. So you are to gather yourselves together as a holy people and keep my holy commandments. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowl and clean, and ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean, and ye shall be holy unto me, for I am holy. So where do I get? We should be holy like Yah is holy. So if it was unholy to eat butter and milk and meat, would Yahweh eat it? Because he wants us to be holy like he's holy. And he is the one that tells us how to eat holy. And here you got people that will tell you that you don't eat any meat with dairy products. And I say, sir, this is talking about goat. He said, no, we extend it to any meat at all and any dairy product. And the Jewish people have even went to the extent, if you go in an Orthodox Jewish home, they got two refrigerators, one for the dairy products and one for the meat, because they believe it's a sin to allow meat to touch any dairy product. And here you see the example of Yah, which is totally different. And you see where Yah commanded us not to learn the ways of the heathens. That's what Yah meant in the book of Obadiah when he said, the secret things of Esau shall be sought up. And after we seek them up, the Creator said, there is none understanding in him. Now, how could a man of understanding read that law and reduce it to eating any meat at all, when it specifically states, thou shalt not see it, a kid in his mother's milk? Period. Furthermore, the Jewish people have went even further to add to the words of Yahweh. For do you know that the Jewish community, their new year is in the seventh month? Most Jewish people celebrate New Year in the seventh month. I couldn't believe it until I went and asked them and seen what they were doing. And then some of them have two New Years. But Yahweh only has one New Year's. And his one New Year's is in the spring, in the first month. That even seems absurd, saying a new year starts in the seventh month, when Yahweh has dedicated the first month of the year to begin a new year. If we look in the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, and I want you all to write these things down and retain these things, because it says in the scriptures, he that is wise winneth souls. You can't help somebody if you just listen to what the teacher say and you don't have the ability nor the capacity to retain the things. Then when you need them as tools to awaken someone out of their sleep, then they're not available. Then you can only say, well, I wish I could call Alicia, but I forgot his number. But if you do your homework and write these things down and retain them, you would see how invaluable the words of Yahweh are. The book of Obadiah is coming to life as we read. There is none understanding in him. If we read the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, and you hold that page, but if you go to the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, hold Leviticus 23 with one hand and go to the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, with the other. Of course, you're feminist, aren't you, son? All right. It tells us in the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, the first two verses, it says,
and Yahweh spake unto Moses.
Again, something that you won't find in the Talmud, in the Quran, in the Hadiths, or in the New Testament, nor in the Book of the Dead, or the Book of the Coming Forth of Day and Night. You will not find where the Creator himself is speaking as you do here. It starts off, thus saith Yahweh,
spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you.
This month. See, if the seventh month was the first month, then Yahweh would change and make the seventh month the first month. So no, this is not no more appropriate that New Year's would start in the 7th month. We're going to make the first 7th month the first month. That's when the Creator said, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year unto you. And that is the month of Abid. Springtime, when all the plants are budding and coming out to life. That's our New Year's, in the month of Abid. And then we find in the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, I believe I want, what is that, the 26th or the 27th verse? I think I want verse 27. Or is that verse 26?
26 dealing with
24. Verse 24. Excuse me. It says,
speak unto the children of Israel.
Speak unto the children of Israel.
Saying, in the 7th month.
In the 7th month.
In the first day of the
in
month.
In the first day of the month.
Shall ye have a Sabbath.
Shall ye have a Sabbath.
A memorial of blowing of trumpets.
A memorial blowing of trumpets.
And holy convocation.
Holy convocation. Didn't say nothing about New Year, did it? Didn't say nothing about the first month of the year to you, did it? But to the Jewish people, this is what they did. They made this the first month of the year. And if we go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter, we go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter, the 5th and 6th verse, it says, dealing with the Passover, it says,
thou mayest not.
Thou mayest not.
Sacrifice the Passover.
Sacrifice the Passover within.
Any of thy gates, which Yahweh thy Elohim giveth thee. But at the place.
But at the place which Yahweh the Elohim shall choose.
To place his name in. There thou shalt sacrifice the Passover.
There is a place ye are to celebrate the Passover.
At even, at the going down of the sun.
All right. He said, thou mayest not. Is an order where Yahweh positively tells us not to celebrate the Passover within any of the gates where we live, even when we were in the land of Egypt. But at the place that he has chosen, the place his name at, there we are to celebrate the Passover. So right here, it lets us know that we can't celebrate it in Chicago or Philadelphia or New York or Cincinnati or anywhere else. And even if we were in the land of Israel, the only place where it was commanded that we celebrate the Passover was in Jerusalem. But nevertheless, the Jewish people got our foolish people in celebrating the Passover right here in Cincinnati every year. Right here in the United States every year, they're celebrating the Passover, even though the Creator says not to. That's what it means by learn not the ways of the heathens. Furthermore, did you know that we are to celebrate the most holiest day of the year, which is called Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, which is the 10th day of the 7th month, which is soon approaching us? But according to the scriptures, according to the law, we must always celebrate it on the 10th day of the 7th month. But you know what the Jewish people have done? They have taken their calendars, and I brought it to the studio last week. I neglected to bring my Encyclopedia of Judaism, and I have an Encyclopedia of Judea and another word, and another book called the Jewish Encyclopedia. All three of them. And all three of them will show you that the Jewish man thought it was very necessary to change the Day of Atonement, to make sure that their Day of Atonement never falls on a Friday or a Sunday. Why? Because he doesn't want to cause himself any inconvenience. And he makes sure that New Year's never fall on a Friday, a Sunday, or a Wednesday, because he won't want it to ever fall along with the Sabbath day. So he changed these laws, changed them to his own convenience. And what do our people do? When they want to keep the Passover, which they shouldn't be keeping anyway, they go to Pillars and somewhere and get them a calendar. Then they go by the Jewish calendar to determine when the new moon is, when the holy days are, and that's what they're going by. They're going by man-made calendars that are conceived in falsehood, and they're not recognizing the Almighty divine words and the calendar he left for us in the sky, which is the moon. The moon is what the Almighty gave us to determine our days and seasons. But this is just something else that he has done. And did you know also that the Jewish man have went so far in attempting to be more holier than Yah and attempting to deceive our people that they have actually changed the start and ending of the Sabbath day? The Jewish people teach that the Sabbath starts on Friday evening and it ends on Saturday night. And nowhere in the book can they back that up. What did Yahweh say? He told us to follow his words and his words only. And why did the Jewish people do this? They changed the Sabbath because they always wanted to make themselves the custodian of Almighty's book. And they always wanted you to never know your true identity. They never wanted you to know who you are. And that's the reason I have always refused to go to any Jewish meeting, even though years ago I was invited several times out there in Roseland to the big Jewish community center to speak to the Jewish people. But I didn't want to let them know what's on my mind because I don't think that they have to let our people know who they are. They will recognize the blacks that know who they are. They will recognize the Rudolph Windersers. They will never recognize the Elisha Israels. They will recognize the black Morays, but they recognize us after we have first recognized ourselves. But they will not go to any extent to wake up our people to who they are, even though they know. But what did Yahweh say about when we start and end our Sabbath day? He says in the book of Jeremiah, we go there to the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. That's reading, it is so important for us to never add to the words of Yahweh, nor to diminish. And this is the reason we should be so adamant in teaching the law and not changing what's right. It tells us in the book of Jeremiah 31, I believe I want the 35th verse, it says,
thus saith Yahweh.
Thus said Yahweh,
which giveth the sun for a light by day.
The first thing the Creator says is that he gave us the sun for a light by day.
And the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night.
So what is that verse telling us? That verse is simply telling me that a day cannot start at night. No day can get its origin or its beginning when the sun goes down, because Yahweh gave us the sun for a light by day, and the moon and the ordinance of the stars for a light by night. It lets me know that a day cannot start when it gets dark. That when it gets dark, it's night. Which divided the sea when the waves thereof roar. Yah of hosts is his name. Then the Creator says,
if those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yahweh, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever.
Then he said, if those ordinances, what is that? The ordinances that he gave to determine the day. The ordinances that he gave us to determine the night. If they any way or change, if by any degree they depart from us, then he said we would cease from being a nation before him forever. Now let me ask the class, why would Yah make such an indictment against us? Why, after bringing Israel out of the land of Egypt, although 10 times we were tempted, we tempted him to destroy us. After all the trials and tribulations we went through, why would Yah threaten us that we will not be a nation before him forever if the ordinances of day and night depart from before us? Why did he say that? Does anyone have a suggestion? Well, the reason is, he said that is because we are the ones to teach the world. We were the ones to teach the world the law. And we couldn't recognize the ordinances that he gave us, the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. If we couldn't recognize that, then he said we will always cease from being a nation before him forever. How can we go back to the Holy Land and teach the laws when we don't know the difference between day and night? How can I teach about Yahweh's laws, his covenants, his judgments, and his statutes, and his precepts and testimonies if I don't know the difference between light and darkness, day and night? That's why Yah said we would cease from being a nation before him forever. Furthermore, if you go to the book.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. That was a lesson taught by the late great prophet of Yahweh, Mori Elisha. Thank you for turning in to Nothing But the Truth. And this week, Mori Obadiah, and Mori Isha will continue to teach the word of Yah, to continue to teach you nothing but the truth. So here at 2330 Camper Lane, the House of Israel, Cincinnati, Yahweh loves you, and so do we. Shalom.
Babylon, we said it wet.
they made it seem songs of Zion. If I forget Jerusalem, remove my tongue until I lose my breath. Happy and seated as they little ones into the steps. Daughter of Babylon, America, the great whore. Naked, what you ashamed for? Come down and sit in the dust. The only place for who wage war. Raided our land. When y'all repay his bitches, he won't meet you as a man. This plague in Egypt began. Deep in this place, seven. Delivered us by temptations. Signs, wonders, wars, a mighty hand stretched out arm in great terrors. The daughter of the Chaldeans no longer will be called the Lady of Kingdoms. They quarantined the time of judgment. Jacob's lives departed. Return to Yah for the light when the skies is darkened. Only the wise regard it. So when these times are charted, leave Babylon departed to circumcise your heart. Heart.
Yah lead us out of Babylon. Please take us from this Babylon. We're leaving out of Babylon. Finally leaving Babylon.
Say, Yah, who shall abide up in your tabernacle? Who shall prevail right in your holy hill? The exodus of your servant is now being unveiled. The dust from all of us going is like the chemtrails. Left behind, these nations getting sifted like grapples. I see flying in the air like graduation tassels. The faces of our elite is left looking confused. They say they always but you inherited lies too. The bondage broken, chains shattered, no more the murders. The same ones who afflicted will be my baby nurses. Raise searches for the death of my people, curses. The blessing that you so fleet, almost fantasy verses. We were both in captivity, now the losers winning. Your magnificent work is why these scribes are pending. The ruler is view of judgment, it's how it's measured in it. The saints is marching on home, no incentive for sinning. Yeah.
Yah lead us out of Babylon. Please take us from this Babylon. We're leaving out of Babylon. Finally leaving Babylon.
Come on, kid. Yah lead us out, no longer can we stay.
Can't stay.
Yeah. It's been too long since we done been away.
Too long.
Yeah, we've been turned upside down. Don't know our night from our day.
We don't know the difference.
Yeah, and all we do is listen.